As we desire to evangelize and share the good news of Jesus to the people around us, one of the toughest things is when we are not really sure how to approach someone with a seemingly hardened heart. And this is not just talking about non-believers, but even the struggling Christians in our midst. How do we face someone who shuns anything gospel-related or cringes at the word Jesus? Now, the interesting thing is, I used to be the one that cringes at any chance my friend talks about their church or Christianity. I would think that my friends probably see me as someone not receptive and hardened towards knowing God then. But one day, I was invited to go to church, and from there I came to know God's word more, and God really worked in my heart as I continued to be in a blessed community. When I reflected back, I really had no idea how it could happen, but it is all because it is entirely the work of the Spirit. So as I myself struggle with wanting to share the word with a hard-hearted crowd, I realized that I have to first work on my own perspective. Sometimes, we unconsciously stick down a label of impossible to evangelize on certain people, like our best of friends, our intimidating relative, or a colleague. Maybe because of the way they express themselves, the way they responded when you tried sharing a little, or you just do not want things to be awkward with someone you are close to. Now, same. I feel especially that way with my best friend. But you will realize that when we place a label down, it will only cause us more helplessness, disappointments, and adding invisible barriers that we place before ourselves and them. So today, let us remove that label and replace it with something else, a new perspective, direction, to look at the hardened and indifferent hearts around us. Firstly, surely there will be people around us like our loved ones who are in spiritual slumber, who are worldly, cold, or contented with their self. Every time they come into contact with God's word, they are indifferent. We wish for them to see the value of the eternal kingdom rather than the ones they are pursuing for in this temporal world. But we worry or fear that if we are not tactful or we say anything close to this, we might offend them or affect the relationship. We may also meet people who are feeling very self-sufficient. They think all is good in their life, but when they hear about the need to battle with their old self and live for the Lord, they harden their hearts. Now, even if this is the case, which is often so, let us not be afraid or turn away, because the truth is, Jesus came to wage war between the spirit and flesh. In Luke 12 verse 51, right after Jesus talked about being watchful in spirit, he says, "Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division." Now, it may seem like an unsettling verse, but what Jesus is revealing here is that his coming often results in conflicts, and it will result in the division between those who follow him and those who do not. There is no middle ground. So surely, as the gospel is shared, there might be resistance and tension because Satan works to cause people unbelief. But at the same time, it activates the spiritual warfare in those called by the Lord to be able to respond to his truth. So when man's heart is hardened, it is the issue of the spirit and the flesh not being able to be brought into a state of repentance. So when we see this spiritual reality, instead of judging, being critical, turning away, or being intimidated by them, we should all the more help them wage war with this hardened heart in them. And we do so by earnestly interceding for them. What is to earnestly intercede for someone? As we intercede for someone we have the burden to evangelize to, our prayers must first begin with the understanding that we are unable. It is not by how eloquent we are, how knowledgeable we are, or how capable we are in making the gospel captivating. We are but vessels to bring the gospel out to people. But it is the irresistible grace of God that reels people into faith and softens the grounds of a believing heart. In John 6 verse 44, it says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day." It is like when a delicious plate of freshly baked cookie is placed on the table, my son Jude will be immediately drawn to the kitchen area by the irresistible smell of it. Therefore, it is only the irresistible grace of God that works in a person's heart to draw them in. But how do we not rely on ourselves when it is usually the first line of response? Now, you will realize that when we tend to respond by our own means, we also tend to internalize it a lot, and it becomes a vicious cycle of feeling disappointed, lack, or helpless. That is why, the more we intercede for someone, the more we have to confirm that it is all based on God's will and to affirm that only God can transform a person's heart. This is the answer God wants to give us as we are facing the hardened hearts. It is by God's will, God's power, and God's timing. And that is why we intercede, so that we can confirm this in our hearts every time we are thinking about the person we hope to evangelize to. Finally, we will have to keep restoring a heart that wholly trusts in the gospel and prayers. Only then can we manifest the Holy Spirit's work. So it is not only to intercede and not rely on self, But there needs to be the inpouring of His truth into our hearts so that we can sustain a full trust in God's word and will. As we do so, the way we pray for a person, the way we interact with a person, can then reveal the living power and work of the Spirit. And what is to wholly trust in the gospel? In Romans 1:16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile." To fully trust in the gospel is to see that it is the power of God to bring people out of destruction into the eternal light. It is the power of God that is above the woes of the heart. It is the power of God that can change even a seemingly limited situation. However, let us not be mistaken. Trusting in the gospel is not about trusting in a desired outcome, but to live in faith before the Lord. Even though we may be weak and falter at times, but the power of the gospel remains in place. And what is the holy pray? It is prayers that, on the basis of trusting in the gospel, see that God's salvation plan is unshakable. So we place our prayers on the Lord that fulfills all things and continue to intercede for those who could respond to His truth one day, until the day the Lord works in the person's heart. Now, brothers and sisters, we may not know whether a person will turn to God one day. We may meet with people who are resistant and cold towards gospel. But let the gospel itself become the unwavered truth in us as we pray and interact with these people. And let us confirm that whoever God loves, He will surely bring their hearts to soften in His time as they receive His irresistible grace. God bless.